Now, I feel a bit cut off up here, but it's prophetic. Don't worry. It's prophetic because when there are people who will be in the balcony, you need to be on the platform. Yes, it's a great prophetic statement. And I want to say to you, Irene, that next year it'll be much easier for the congregation when it comes to boxes and Christmas hampers, because there'll be more people to give to it. And I'm not just saying that, hyping it up. I'm too old in the tooth to hype it. I've seen too much and listened to too many exaggerators in the flesh. I'm just saying it in the spirit. There'll be people born again in this coming year. And there's a different spirit in the church. I feel it. You've talked to me about it. When I went for a walk just now, so embarrassing. I go through a door which says toilet, and I can hear the singing. It's just brilliant. And I'm thinking, when this building is full, it's going to sound even magnificent. And I know you live around here, and you're used to a building. And by the way, it's a magnificent building. I know it costs money to maintain, but still, keep thanking God for the building, because I'm preaching in schools where people are just renting buildings. Nothing wrong with that, but they'd give their right arm to, say, inherit a place like this. And most of you inherited this place. When I became a Baptist minister, I inherited a very small, villagey, market town Baptist building in Bracknell in Berkshire. And I thought, it's too small. Anyway, it was a new town developing. And we just became nomadic when it came to buildings. I just want to say this. We built, I'm contextualizing this, we built a 1,000-seater. And, you know, I pastored the church for 43 years. I never saw the 1,000-seater filled. I kept praying. I used to go around the balcony. I used to touch every seat in the balcony, 400 seats. God put a person on this seat. And then I go around the 600 downstairs. And sometimes you feel quite foolish. But today, there'll be 1,200 people there, over four meetings and over two sites. And it's no good me saying, God, why couldn't I have seen that in my 43 years? Don't worry about it. You inherit what other people have sown. Other people inherit what you've sown. They reap the fruit. It doesn't matter. God's glorified. And the people on the stage doing the worship today, excellent. Excellent. You're there to serve us. I felt you served us. You go to churches where people on the stage and in the music, you think we're there to just serve them. We're here to serve one another. And it's excellent. I did look at the ingredients of some of the food that's going to be given away. It's so unhealthy. Crisps and other things, and then bring it on just for anything. I tell you what you can do with unhealthy food. Eat it, and then just get healthy by having long walks the days have. Listen, don't tell anybody. I'm toying with you. But I think, oh, bring on Christmas. So I went out for a long walk yesterday, thinking, stomach, get in, because you're about to be filled. Gideon and I, we spent Friday together with about 14 other guys. I went home excited. I did say to my wife this morning, actually, I think it's one of the best Fridays we've had together. I just felt God was with us. And I was telling him, just preach for money. I was telling all the leaders, because churches are short of money because preachers don't preach for it. And the reason why we preachers don't preach for it is because everybody, not everybody, but well-meaning people oppose it. Well, don't worry about that. Preach for salvation, you get salvation. Preach for good fellowship, you get good fellowship. Preach for money, you get money. Preach for good worship, you get good worship. Why? Because you reap what you sow. And by the way, you're sowing so many seeds. And you can tell it what you're advertising for Christmas. One of these days, there is going to become a harvest. Just listen, just wait for it. And the Bible says this, don't grow weary in well-doing. So easy to grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you hang around. Just hang around. Say, God, I've been working in this field for a long time. We just need you to demonstrate your power. We sang a line, dancing in the streets. That's prophetic, because you're not dancing in the streets yet, but one of these days you will. And when you pray, this isn't a sermon. When you pray, so don't make the clock on me. When you pray, pray specifically. Ask God for specifics. I'll tell you a few specifics, right? Not enough men in this church. Strong men. Well, bring the wimps in, but make them strong. Right? The reason why there are so many women not married in church life, there are so many wimpy men, you wouldn't want to marry them. Right? God, bring in the men. Save men. Not enough whites in the church. This place is an international. You are on an international stage in Greenwich. Ask God. Send in white people. Send in Asian people. Send in Chinese people. If you want a bit of quality, send in Welsh people. Send them in, Lord. Men and women. Send in students. But listen, you need to... Students, do something to us. The young, they're full of life. But listen, don't neglect the indigenous population. You know, God, send in family. Send in people around. Send in old people. You know, just send in widows, widowers. Might have a few matches there. Just, God, send them in. Send in the rich. Send in the poor. But pray specifically. Keep doing it. Father, I've mentioned these people, and there's others besides. God, please save them. You can send them to any church you like, oh God, I know that. But give us a few of them as well. Father, we ask you that your Son may be exalted in the hundreds and thousands and millions that go in and out of Greenwich. Oh God, we ask you, stir us up, please. We want to glorify your name. And Lord, we do want this building full. We want this building full of people who just love to worship you. And we would love to be part of it, Father. God, if you do it, we'll go with you. And we'll go expecting you to do it, Lord. Let me say one other thing. Work and pray and act as if it totally depends on you, knowing that it totally depends on God. Right? There are two things to do, two spirits. You can either work hard and fill your hampers and your shoeboxes and do it in the flesh. I've got to do it because Irene, you know, that's in the flesh. Or you do it saying, oh God, I want to bless people. And even sometimes the word sacrifice might come into our, well, okay, you sacrifice, Jesus sacrificed the lot, did he not? So there we are. Would you turn, please, to Mark chapter 6. Can we get it on the screen at this late time? Because I've forgotten to tell you it. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 onwards. And I'm going to ask you to get a bit involved in this. So please don't go to sleep. And don't think, well, how long is he going to take this time? Mark chapter 6, verses 30 following. By the way, what I'm going to say, you've already been talking about. Irene is talking about so much of this. I thought, heavens, she's preaching my sermon. And I thought, well, I'm giving you the biblical basis for what you're talking about. I'm just seeing if it's coming up on the screen yet, in case some of you don't have Bibles with you. Hey, it's on behind me, is it? Easily read behind me? Okay, I can't see too much there, but that doesn't matter. As long as it's on the screen behind, it doesn't matter. Okay? Right, here we go. The apostles, now this is a feeding of the 5,000. If you're into the Bible, you will know it. It'll be well known. If you were brought up in Sunday school, not many kids are these days, it'll be well known. If you're not into the Bible, it's going to be well known by the time you go home to lunch today. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Now, Jesus had sent these apostles out. The basic meaning of apostle means the sent ones. Those of you who are in the trade, you meet some apostles and they think they're above you. Listen, in the Bible, leadership is not hierarchical, it's relational. And that goes for leadership at any level. Now, we honor leaders. We submit to leaders, but that leaders must not think it's a hierarchy and I'm the top dog in the house at the moment. They were servants. We're all servants. Jesus is a servant. He's still serving. If you want to know what Jesus is doing, I'll tell you. The Bible says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. What a privilege to be alive. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Time out. What's your testimony for the last week? Now, what have you done for Jesus? What have you done in Jesus' name? Now, you go to work in Jesus' name. You drive a truck in Jesus' name. You drive a bus in Jesus' name. You're a doctor, a nurse in Jesus' name. You're a mother staying at home in Jesus' name. You sweep the roads. I saw a guy sweeping up leaves as I'm coming through Lewisham because it's a bit of a wild night. And you think, yes, if he's a believer, he's doing it in Jesus' name. But I'm not talking about the jobs. Is there anybody can say, this last week I was able to speak to someone about Jesus or prayed for someone? Now, if so, would you have the courage to just stand and say in a slick comment what you said? Anybody? Yes, come on. Yes.
I was just sharing with a colleague at work, a temporary member of staff that's been working with me.
Yes.
And we had a conversation about church and I gave her my testimony. She's a Christian, but yes, we were able to share.
Excellent.
Jesus in the workplace. So
very good.
It's good.
That's brilliant. Anybody else? Yes, somebody at the back there. Miss Jackie.
I don't necessarily know if my one was a positive one, but we've been collecting.
We'll tell you that.
I know. We've been collecting sponsorship money for the deadline that's looming. And at work, I had got a number of teachers to sponsor me, including the department that I work in, which is the English department.
Yes.
And they all sponsored me. But when I went to collect the money, they said no. They said they didn't realise that I was raising money for their church and they don't believe in it and they're humanist.
Really?
I know.
So they wouldn't let you have the money?
And so I said, you know, it's for the community to raise something for a ramp and it's not just about the church, blah, 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 blah. No. And so I prayed for them.
Okay. Listen, that's absolutely authentic. Some received Jesus and his disciples, and some kicked him into touch. Anybody else? Come on.
Well, I had a little bit more success than Jackie. I asked for money for our church building and all the work we're going to do, and I got it. So
excellent.
That was really good. One thing I must say, though, you have to be persistent. You can't just do it once or twice.
Yes.
You've got to go back and do it over and over again. Just okay. little things each time. So, yeah, and you do get the opportunity to say exactly why you're doing it. Even yes. if they weren't going to be receptive, you can slip, you know, a little thing about God or Jesus in yeah. there whilst they're, you know, halfway receptive.
Very good, Jenny. Aren't you impressed I'm knowing people's names now? Please, God, help me. Right, anybody else?
Yeah, so one of my previous managers, we met for to go to the tennis, and he had paid to give me, or rather to sponsor me for this.
At the O2.
Sorry?
Did you say tennis?
Yeah, to the tennis. Tennis, yes, yeah. He had sponsored me for the walk, and I told yes. him about the work that we are doing in the community, yes. and he said, and I told him I'll be going for the marathon next year, and he said he's going to sponsor me even for that. So it's a relationship
so
we're
when
building.
This week you were talking to him?
Yes, so, on Friday. On Friday.
Very good. Yeah. Right, who else did I see?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of people at work who sponsored me, and one of them's on holiday. Another one said, oh, I haven't got any money this week, see me next week. And all on my list to be got, and there's one guy, most people gave me £5, which is great. But one person who owes money to everybody in the garage offered me £10, and I said, oh, you'll never get that. But he's on my list, and I'll track him down.
That's right. Just put your foot in his neck till the money comes out. That's very good. One more.
I was talking to some of my a mum of some friends of my children's friends, and so we met for coffee. Our children don't go to the same school anymore, but we met for coffee, and we were talking about the US elections and the result. And I was just sharing about how my response was to pray for Donald Trump and for him to have wise advisors around him yes. at this time. So I was just trying to get in.
Aye, aye.
There.
Very good. Right. I'll tell you, I don't get too political here, but I heard somebody speaking about Donald Trump and saying about God's chaotic leader or something. So my response was, well, if you'd have had Hillary Clinton, you'd have had God's chaotic leader. It's just a different type of chaos. So, you know, just in case you think, you know, the devil is over here, Donald Trump, and there's Hillary. Anyway, you're meant to say yes, I agree with that. talking about, I'll tell you one or two things. Last Sunday, I was in Bracknell in the church, and it was a very moderate type of meeting until the youth pastor got up, and instead of him preaching his word, he said, I'm going to preach another word. And he dropped on his knees and he said, will the elders come up and pray? And he started calling them out. Well, there's only two elders there, the senior pastor and another elder. And then he knew I was there. And so he says, will Ben Davis come forward? And then in the end, we're praying for him. And Shola was there. And then he absolutely exploded. But he'd spent a week with Heidi Baker. If you know Heidi Baker, anybody, I defy them not to explode if you've spent time with Heidi Baker. Anyway, when the meeting's over, two blokes come up to me. Biggish blokes. I thought they look a bit of trouble. And they say to me, one of them said to me, what part of West Wales are you from? So I said, then you must be Welsh to detect that I haven't got a valley accent or a South East Wales accent. He says, well, he said, I am Welsh. And the other guy said, so am I. And so we start chatting, as Welsh guys do. And I said, where are you guys from? And they said, Yeldol Manor. Now, Yeldol Manor is a drug and alcohol and other things rehabilitation center. And the boys come to us. They call them the boys. They're big guys. And they just started talking. And then I just erupted over them. And I said, when they said they're from Yeldol, I said, you guys are in trouble, that's why you're there. First time I met them. I mean, you think, no, you can't say things like that. When the Spirit moves, it's amazing what you can say. And in the end, I'm begging them, I'm urging them, just believe that Jesus can straighten you out and deliver you from alcohol and drugs and anything else. Because it's absolutely true. And I didn't lead him to the Lord, because the guy who was driving the bus was, and he said, look, yeah, our driver needs us to go. On Monday, now you say, I have these opportunities because it's my job. On Monday, I went down to Bridge End in South Wales because a guy rang me up about 6 weeks ago and I hadn't seen him for years. And I said, oh, what are you doing? Where are you? And he said, I'm in South Wales leading a church. I thought, what? Because I didn't think he was that sort of guy. And he said, I'm in a bit of trouble. I need just some help. So I thought, it's no good him coming up to see me. I want to go and see his patch. Did I want to go down there? Not really. But there's something in me. I need to go down there. So I just go down there. And met with him. Had lunch with him. Met his wife. I just hope I did something. And then come back home. And it just goes on and on like that. Friday, spent with a dozen to 15 guys all day on Friday talking about things. And you might say, do you do anything normal? You know, yeah, I went shopping with my wife this week. If that's normal, let's read on. Now I went to do a bit of Christmas shopping. Anyway, listen, you can shop to the glory of God. And, you know, if you've got nothing to report back to Jesus other than I tried my best, just say it. I don't know what these apostles reported about. They probably said, we cast out demons, we healed the sick. And you think, then God, can I do a bit of that as well? Have confidence that you can do that. Not in unreality, not forcing yourself down their throats. You know, if I go and pray for people, I always say, would you mind if I pray for you? I can hardly remember when people said no. One or two people have said no in the past. You think, okay. Right. So, verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported him all they had done and taught. I want to say to you, you're going to be saying more and more stuff what Jesus has been doing through you. And please don't devalue yourself. I'll never be able to do anything and lead anybody to Jesus or pray for the sick. Listen, that's the devil talking to you. Just believe that. When the Bible says God gives gifts severally as he wills, and God is a generous God, and God is loading us with gifts. My observation is, on my own life and other people's lives, we've got so many gifts, they lead us into trouble. If only on the pride issue. Let me read on. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And whenever I read that, I think chance would be a fine thing. Let's pray now. God, send us so many people coming and going, we'll be rushed off our feet. You folks, in your private lives and in the life of the church, Father, we do ask that you will send so many people to us that it'll be just bewildering. Jesus' name. Mind you, the guys, you've just put a good version up there. I can see it well. Thank you very much. Right, let's read on. Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves in a quiet place and get some rest. There's a time for activity and there's a time to switch off. I find it difficult to switch off. I find it difficult to say no. But there are times when, in my own experience, I just know I need my own space and so do you. So, this is the build-up to the feeding of the 5,000. So they're telling him it's been absolutely wonderful. And he says, basically, well done. Come with me by yourselves. And so they, in verse 32, they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Now the reality is this. In verse 33, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When it comes to people, you know this is by way of reminder, you are never free. If you work with people, you're never free of them. You have children, you're never free of them. My kids are still ringing me up. Dad, I can tell by the sound of a voice whether they want money out of me or support, or whether they want their mother, right? And my grandchildren, they're all over us, like a dose of salts, and I hand them on to my mother, my wife, because really they want Nana and not Grandpa. But anyway, but listen, less humorously, but equally in reality, you start dealing with people, you're going to be overrun. So I'm saying, God, fill this building. You're going to be overrun. You think you've got problems? Wait till they start multiplying. But won't you like it? We want it. And we're going to have to learn how to say yes and no. I started a church off with less than 20. And in the end, when I left, it was 600-700. You think, oh, God. Glad it's all over. So they, where are we? Verse 34. When Jesus landed and he saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. Now, the word compassion is a deep word when it's applied to Jesus. It's a deep feeling. I want to say this. Jesus has compassion on you and he has compassion on me. Have you sinned this week? He has compassion on you. He's not out to get you. He's not out to bully you. Jesus, he died for us. He lives to make intercession for us. Jesus knows you by name. He knows every hair on your head. He knows your background. He knows where you feel utterly rubbish and inferior or hiding something else. You become expressing superiority. Listen, Jesus has compassion on us. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He had compassion before the world began when God said to him, son, one day you're going to go down to earth. Jesus has compassion when he was on earth. Jesus has compassion now. Believe it. Receive it by faith. Jesus has compassion on us. I went out for a meal last night with Mo to a couple. And the woman has great problems in believing she's born again. And listen, she's been like that for donkey's years. My temptation is to get so irritated. I said, what the Bible? I said, oh, why didn't she read the Bible and believe the Bible? Right? Jesus has compassion on her. I don't know why she finds it. Well, I've got ideas, but that's between her and God. But all I want to say, Jesus has compassion. So when Jesus saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Other versions say harassed and helpless. Folks, when we look at people, let's have compassion on them. Have compassion on everybody. There are people who pass your door, or maybe they're not past your door, but they'll pass your steps at work, in shops, and they look wonderful. They're dressed up like a dog's dinner. They're dressed up as if they've just walked out of Harrod's shop window. Listen, have compassion on them because they need Jesus. There are people who walk our streets, and shop in our shops. Well, they don't shop. They'll shop in different shops if they got less money because we're a bit of a class society, aren't we? And who was this shop that he said value? Which shop was it? You better be careful because I'll write and tell them. And what about Lidl? And you don't shop there either? You do, what? Well, you should have been brought up with me. I'm one of 10 children. You are grateful for value or anything. But that's true. That is absolutely true. You're going to be careful. Let me tell you something. I'm just toying with you. No, I'm not fighting you. Let me just say this to you. We've got to be careful that we're not too middle class.
No, Pastor Bernard, I'll tell you why.
Yes, you're fighting me. Yes. Yes, I know why. Yes. Yeah, I know exactly that. Shut him up, will you, please? Just shut him up, please. No, I know that. I know that. I'm toying with you. Listen, give the best, as much as we can afford, to other people. But it is, it is so easy to look down on poor people and thinking, let them have the rubbish. My wife works in food bank in Bracknell, big food bank, and it goes 3 days a week. And she says the stuff that people bring in there to give to the poor in food bank. I mean, like half-open stuff and all that. You think, oh, just get rid of it. Anyway, where are we? What verse are we on? Oh, yes. Jesus saw the crowds, and he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. They can be dressed well. They can be dressed terrible. They can be highly educated. They can be poorly educated. I was in a prayer meeting yesterday morning. A girl in our church, I know she's in, it's too complicated to explain. She was in Australia, and she's in education, and she's meeting children, and she's on a camera, and she is interviewing a girl of 9, listen to this, who has already been in 45 foster homes. Wow. And this girl was telling us she was crying. And she said, this girl is sofa surfing. And we acknowledged it, and I said this in the prayer meeting, and there are millions of well-dressed people. They go to the same sofa and in the same bed at night, but they're sin surfing. They're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And that's what we're dealing with. We were like that, were we not? There was a time when I was sin surfing. I thought it was really good stuff. And then God just broke in on me. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them. Do you know, when you go shopping, just stare at people. Don't let them realize you're staring at them. But, you know, I go down to Bracknell. Can't at the moment because the Bracknell Town Centre is in a massive upheaval. They're going to have a huge shopping centre. And I used to sit on benches and just watch people going by. And I used to watch elderly people shuffling along. And I really felt for them. And then the Spirit said to me one day, you need to feel for them because they're very old and they're carrying unconfessed sin. Because it's very easy to look at older people and thought, dear woman, dear man. But the sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them. Now, by this time, verse 35, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go into the surrounding country, side and villages, and buy themselves something to eat. Now, I've got a question here. I'd like you to answer me. What was remarkable about that bit of conversation? Recorded in verse 35 and 36. What's remarkable about it? Come on, you're bright enough. If I knew you well, I'd say worse things than that. Send the people away. Then go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Verse 35 is saying, this is a remote place, they said. What's remarkable about this? Read what you see. Say what you read. Sorry, shout it out. Sorry, you'll have to be louder because my hearing's terrible. It was empty. Okay, it was. Say it again. Late in the day. Yes. But there's something remarkable about this. Go and read the text now. Can we have verse 35 up? Because there's a clue in the text. Yes, it was a remote place. What does that all tell us? Nothing there at all. Can't give anything to it. But look what, look at the, before we get to that bit, look at verse 35. Well done, Declan. Keep the music going. Right. So you're all grumbling that I don't know your names. But the trouble is, when I get to know your names, you wish I didn't know them. Well, he's an Irishman. He's like that. Right. Politically incorrect morning. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. Now, come on, there's something odd about that. Read what it says. What? Read it. It's dead simple. Yes? But listen. Yes, oh dear me. You need to be taught to read the Bible and look at what's there. Now listen, this. What? No, no, I'm not telling you, because you ought to know it by now. Yes. You're just missing one thing. Yes? Who's they? Yes. Don't you find that remarkable? They decide to tell Jesus how to do the job. Thank you. So simple. I mean, can you imagine it? But you see, I'm surprised you haven't noticed it, because that's exactly what we do. We say, Jesus, you know, Greenwich, nobody wants to come to God, really. That's how we pray. It goes on in Bracknell. You know, God, we're only 50 people in this church, and there's no money in this church, because you know us. You know, Lord, you know that nobody seems to want to offer and volunteer these days because nobody's committed, God. That's what people say. We say it to one another, don't we? Lord, you know, we're like men don't. I mean, Ben Davis is saying the men, but you know, men these days, they don't come to God. Listen, Jesus doesn't need to be told anything, but he needs to tell us a lot. Do you agree with that? That changes my approach to God. When I pick these things up, I think, what do I tell God? What sort of things do you tell God? You know, God, I've got a difficult boss. Oh, God, you know, I've got a difficult husband and a difficult wife. And God, you know what my mother-in-law's like. Listen, he knows all about that. He must be bored to tears. So the disciples say, this is an old place. If Jesus was ungracious, he'd go, do you think I'm blind? Do you think I'm stupid? Don't you think I haven't been around this place before? I come from this area. This is a remote place, they said. And it's all very, very late. He could say, I don't have a watch on my wrist, but I can tell the time. I know it's all very late. I've been preaching to them. Listen, folks, when we pray, just say it straight, but don't tell God what he already knows. Just ask God what we already want. Let's have a look at verse 36, please. And then they have the effrontery to say, send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. He's there, in my opinion, my humble opinion. They're fobbing the whole thing. They're passing the book back to him. I mean, they are standing, they don't realize it, they're standing on a momentous moment of opportunity. And they're saying, just tell them to clear off. Because deep down, they're saying, it's too big a problem. We don't know what to do about it. Listen, I must say this to you. I think you might be tempted to think that about the money that's needed for the building. You might be tempted. 350,000, you got in what, 80,000? Something like that. You go walking, excellent. And money's coming in online, and that's brilliant. But you might be tempted, say, you know, the thing's too big for us. Send it away. Let's not do it this year. Do it next year. We're like that. You know, we've got a building project in Bracknell. The whole, ultimately, it's another £4 million thing. And I'm on the committee. They probably wish they'd never asked me to be on the committee. And by the way, I didn't want to go on it because I'm no longer the senior pastor. I didn't want to get in Simon Bennett's way, but Simon says, I just want you to be there. And the architect has given us his impression on the next bit of the project. And, you know, I'm just used to this. There's a thread of emails going around between the who's on the group. So in the end, I send an email back to them. And I say, number one, it's not for the architect to tell us how big the thing is going to be. We'll tell him how big it is, and he'll be our servant. It's true? Yeah. And then I said, and we haven't got the ground for what we'd like, so we need to go to the cricket club. There's a cricket, huge cricket pitch, and ask them, will they sell us some of the ground? And I'm just waiting for at the next meeting, which is before Christmas, because I'm going to think, it's so easy to get rid of the thing. We want a much bigger deal, but we haven't got the ground. Well, let's see if we can buy the ground. Now, I'm only saying that to you because I want you to know I'm not just talking about you and what is here. It's going on everywhere. And I think, oh, we don't want to say, oh, we can't do it, send them away or send it away. I mean, this is so instructive, isn't it? I mean, they're wanting, it's too big, it's a remote place. And anyway, nobody's got any money or food, and just let them forage for themselves. And what does, let's have the next verse of place. But he answered, you give them something to eat. It's a variation on Moses saying to God, don't ask me to go back to Pharaoh. I can't do it. I'm not able. I'm not going to do it. God said, what's in your hand? What a staff. Drop it. Becomes a snake. You see? And here he says, you give them something to eat. Folks, what have you got that you can use for the glory of God? I'll start with money. If you've got a bit more money, please give it for the building fund. You say, well, I've given so much. Well, let me give you the good news. You will always be a giver. We're always givers. You know, you do, because that's what people are thinking. If we do what Gideon wants us to do and we get a little job for £350,000, when it's over, he'll be at us again. And this time it'll be £500,000. You've got it in one. That is totally true. But by then, of course, the thing will have been bigger and more people coming. It's like that. And you'll be glad that we were part of the early brigade. You give them something to eat. Well, we haven't got anything. I mean, you know us. Jesus. I tell people, say, oh, I'm what about money? I'm only a pensioner. I say, you might be a double pensioner. Or you might just have your state pension. Or you might have had an inheritance. Or you might have had a bonus, or you might not have had any of those things. But you've got something. You might have a fiver or whatever. Or you might be a prayer. That's all I got. I can pray. Heavens, prayer is so powerful. You give them something to eat. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture was given and is profitable for instruction. So we're looking at a bit of all scripture. And it's so profitable. Yeah, you give them something to eat. You must be mad, Jesus. Now, we wouldn't say that to Jesus because we're too polite and we're too terrified anyway. But he hears us thinking it. But he answered, no, guys, you're not going to send them away. What do you mean? I mean this. You give them something to eat. What do you think about the next bit? They said to him, I would take 8 months of a man's wages. Well, you're not going to see it. And I've been ordered from the back. Time's going. I'll tell you, unbelief starts calculating. Listen, just don't calculate. You'll never do anything if you calculate. You know, I'm gonna sing in Lewisham Centre, is it? You know, you think, but I'm already calculating how many people go out singing these days, and the vast majority of people are not into it anyway. Hey, listen, by the way, at Christmas, the vast majority of people love people singing carols. Just listen to what people say. I don't go to church, somebody says to me, but I like carols, people singing carols. But we calculate. And the people who calculate never see the miracles. If I'd have calculated when I was leading the church in Bracknell, we would have never have seen a miracle. Because doing your calculations, it's like tithing. If you calculate about tithing, you will never end up giving a penny. People who calculate never see the miracles. That would take 8 months of a man's wages. For goodness sake, for goodness sake, the cattle on a thousand hills belong to God. We're quite, like, what's the word? We swing from one extreme to another. We can sing these great songs about, you know, the cattle on a thousand hills belong to God, and then you can say, oh, I can't do anything. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? They don't realize. They're quite self-righteous at this point. What? You'd expect us to use money that way? That's how we talk. I'm so comfortable with this because I think it mirrors what I'm like. Right? My wife is much more generous than me, and I think I'm reasonably generous, but she is much more. In fact, I think she's crazy. She goes shopping for the kids. We don't go together on that one. Because we'd have too many arguments. So I said, oh, go and just spend whatever you want to then. Just don't come back and say you're in debt. See? But I'm saying, oh, we just spend so much money on the grandchildren. I hardly had anything when I was being brought up. She says, different day and generation. And you have a God that you know that your parents didn't seem to. Let's have a look. Is there another verse? How many loaves do you have? Oh, please, God, don't ask me that. Go and see. I don't know what the application of that is. Go and see. Well, go and see what you've got. What have you got in terms of money? What have you got in terms of faith? Go and see. Just look at it. What have you got in terms of time? By the way, I'll tell you how to get more time and more money. Cut out waste. And then you'll have much more time and much more money. Simple, isn't it? Go and see. How many? Go and see. Okay, Jesus. All right, we've heard it. And they find out. Now, it doesn't say it in this gospel, but in another of the gospels, it says there was a lad there who had five loaves and two fish. Right? You say, why is there a discrepancy? Well, because it's about, witness. If you all looked at a car crash, you'd be telling the police different things because you saw different things. So, you know, the other gospel writer, I don't know which of them, said that he remembers this incident. And he said, oh, yes, there's a lad there. Five loaves and two fish. So let's have a look at it, verse 39. Now, listen, you'll always come to a point in life when it's on the faith road, you will never have enough of anything to meet the things you'd like to do. Yes or no? Right? You'll never have enough education. You never feel you have enough money. You never feel you have enough faith. You never feel you have enough time. You never feel you've got enough good friends around you. You just don't feel you've got it. And, you know, I'm a 5-2 man. You know, five loaves, two fish, but I mean, I'm always dealing with people, so many. Well, Jesus said, that's fine. And then he says, tell him to sit down. There's no panic here. He takes command, and he sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. I don't know who counted that lot out, but it's in the Bible, so I believe it. Let's have a look. Now, what's the big lesson in verse 41? What's the big lesson do you see? taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. What's the lesson in that? Yeah. It's simple, isn't it? Give thanks to God for who you are. God, I'm always meeting people who I think are much more highly gifted than me. And I'm going around thinking, I'm only Ben Davis. Well, over years, God says, well, for goodness sake, thank me for that. Right? You may think, well, I can't do much. I'm only, thank God for it. Take what you've got. Don't be mean-spirited about it. Let's take what we've got, and don't be super spiritual about it. I'm all just a little humble person. Most people are not humble. Just say, Father, I just thank you for what you've done in me. It's so easy to watch this girl on the keyboard and think, I wish I could do that. I had a chance, learned for 10 years, but I was too lazy to commit myself or something. My daughters took over instead. But, you know, you think, but Lord, this is who I am. I thank you. And thank God. Give God the glory in this church. Keep on giving God the glory. Don't live in unreality and pretend you haven't got needs. Every church has needs. Every individual, every family has needs. Every leadership has needs. But let's recognize, but look what we've got. It's fabulous. Thank you for this building. It needs so much attention. Oh God, thank you for the building. We pray you bless it. People on the platform, thank you, and all of you, I'm thanking God for you. God, thank you with the people. Well, we'd have liked hundreds more, but that's not the point. At the moment, thank you, thank you, thank you. We bless you, and he blesses it. And what happens when he blesses it? It multiplies. It's incredible. This is a mighty spiritual truth in our own lives. And then when we start thanking God, God will move in and bless. And the 5,000 are fed. Don't let the little demonic voice come in and say, well, it happened then, but that was in those days. It doesn't happen today. Because we're a sophisticated population. And we're more educated. And anyway, days are hard today. And when it comes to money and when it comes to busyness, and we can't expect people to help. And just don't have anything to do with it. Just say, Father, you broke the 5 loaves, 2 fish. And you fed them. Can we see the next bit? Hey, by the way, let me tell you, I've run a midweek meeting in Bracknell, the 6 day last week. And now we've got colossal car park problems. And on December the 7th, we're shooting for 200 people. We'll have almighty, mighty problems. And when it came to you give them something to eat, I felt God say to me, you do something about the car parking problem. Because you know what I'm doing? I'm grumbling that another group was shifted onto the Wednesday, and they have stolen a load of, that's what I'm thinking, our car parking spaces. Can you see my mind's working? And I'm really getting nasty with, not Simon Benham, but his number two, Ben Oliver. Because I think, he's a cocky so-and-so. He hasn't thought about me and my ministry. I'm thinking this. So I'm going to email him this afternoon and say, can I see you on Tuesday? And I felt the Spirit said to me, don't be aggressive. Don't even be passive-aggressive. Can I be passive-aggressive? Which means you're not going to get past me anyway. But I'm going to just plead with him to shift the group to another day. He's not going to want to do it. But it's under, you do something about it. Now, he might say no, because I know this, the name of the game. I'm no longer the boss there. But I can do something about it. So I'll talk to him and I'll talk to others. And there must be a way out of the dilemma. Right? You do something about it. You do something small about it. There must be a way out. And then they all ate and were satisfied. Gideon and Irene, satisfaction is going to become your hallmark in this place. I'm thinking of church, but it's family life as well. It's life at work. It's life at home when you're retired, because you can be such dissatisfied pensioner. Nobody ever comes to visit me. I've gone too old. I think my it's not true about me because my phone's ringing. But I've heard people say that. Nobody comes to visit me now. Hey, don't get dissatisfied because God is in the business of making us satisfied. So they all ate and were satisfied. And I'm going to say this. There are going to be people coming in here and they might not like the culture. They might, well, if you have more people, of course, they'll change the culture. Because it goes, the dynamics change. But they might not be satisfied with everything. But generally speaking, when Jesus is uplifted and God is glorified and we worship him, I'm telling you, there are people who are deeply dissatisfied out there will come in here and be satisfied. Amen. It's going to be so excited. And then verse 43, Jesus said, tell them to take their rubbish home. Did he? He said, pick up the leftovers. And I'll tell you, there's a great spiritual truth here. The more you give, the more the leftovers you have. It's brilliant, isn't it? The more you give, the more leftovers you'll have. The harder you work, the more leftovers you have. The more you believe, the more leftovers of faith you have. It's a spiritual principle. One man withholds what he should give, but only suffers want. Another one gives, but he himself is enriched. And that is actually to do with money. But it's a spiritual principle. It's to do with everything. Jesus takes these loaves. He thanks God. He blesses the food. And they feed the 5,000. And there's leftovers. I encourage you to believe for miracles. I was about to say for the most enormous miracles. That's tautology. I don't need to say enormous. I encourage you to believe for miracles. I encourage you to pray for miracles. I encourage you to expect miracles. I encourage you to work for miracles. I encourage you to sing for miracles. I encourage you to dance for miracles. I encourage you to come to church for miracles. Because some people think, oh, I don't feel like coming to church today because, you know, I've been there 4 days this week and all that, and now it's Sunday. No, well, they won't miss me. Listen, I encourage you to come to be part of the miraculous. Can you imagine some of those these people who were in the crowd, they pushed off home early. And when friends got back to the village, she'd say, do you know, and all of us were fed out of five loaves and two fish, and there were leftovers. Well, I never saw it. Well, of course you weren't. You weren't there. Jesus' name. Be blessed. Amen. Jesus' name. Receive your faith. Amen. In Jesus' name, receive your joy. In Jesus' name, receive leftovers. Amen. In Jesus' name, be blessed in the run-up to Christmas. Amen. In Jesus' name, I say, have the vision that soon you will see more and more people coming. Amen. In Jesus' name. And I want to say this to you, and then I'll sit down. I do love coming here. I feel it's, well, it is my second church. My first is still Bracknell. But I love coming here. I've grown to love you. Well, I loved you, but love grows. And you have to be with people for love to grow. By the way, I'm preaching. If you want to love people, get amongst them. Just get amongst them. But I love coming. And what I love so much these days, God is doing something fresh. Amen. There is a lightness of spirit. We've talked about it. You've told me the key to it is a praying. And it's so wonderful. And my wife hasn't come. Well, she's going to miss out. I'm joking. She can have it blessed elsewhere. I am here before Christmas, aren't I? Yeah.